This week was the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker, one of my favorite feasts, actually, because I imagine Jesus being taught a profession. You know, he didn't begin his final ministry until he was 30. Now, between probably, I don't know the lowest age, but 12 and 30, he learned a trade at the side of his father and was known as a carpenter's son. No doubt he also did the same thing, building structures and building furniture and out of wood and stone and other materials, brick that they use in the Holy Land. So Jesus, then having left that behind, begins to teach. And today he talks about, I want to make a dwelling within you. You see, Jesus the carpenter, Jesus the builder, wants to build a dwelling within us. It's a very beautiful image. I was over there at the house on Monday, I believe, looking at this reading. I always get it going on Sunday or Monday in my mind to prepare for the weekend. Outside my window, I could hear the nailing going on for the walls. Each week you guys come back, if you're not here during the week, and a lot of things have changed. By next weekend, I'm told many of the arches will be up. You know, we've already got a roof on one of the rooms there. It's amazing. But as I reflected on it, and the noise has not been bad at my house at all, except for the geo pillars when the whole earth shook and I had to go to another state to get away from it. But that was the only 4 days. But that got me to thinking that if any of you perceptive watchers of this project would have seen, you can still see it in there, but it's more obscured. They had a kind of a stand with a roof on it. It's about this big, and inside are the blueprints in plastic. And they're constantly referring to those blueprints. When this crane was put in, there was nothing there except foundations. Yet they knew exactly where to put it so that when the arches went up, they wouldn't have to move it. It's placed between two arches. You see, they knew where it needed to go. I could never have guessed in a million years where to put that thing. But the builders who have blueprints know where to put it. Jesus has a set of blueprints for each of us. He is a master builder. He's a master craftsman. As I said on St. Joseph the Worker, he's a change of life vocation, if you will. The primary thing he did was carpentry. He only did his teaching for 3 years. On second thought, he's never stopped building because now he's working on our hearts. And as I've said a number of times before, this building is a type of the real temple in our hearts. That's why everything that's happening there is a spiritual experience. I really invite you next week and the week after when these arches go up, ask yourself what holds up your building. There are eight of them. I don't know, we call them the eight Beatitudes of the eight. I'm going to call them the eight previous archbishops. Here's Archbishop Lazenby, Archbishop LeVay. I don't know. But really, we've got what holds me up? Whose blueprint am I following? If I exclude God, sometimes the Lord gets excluded by sin. We don't want to be built where in this particular location. We want a nice view. We want the ocean breezes. We don't see a tidal wave coming. But the master builder knows exactly where to put every detail of our lives because what he's building is not just for this world, but for the world to come. We, all of us, particularly priests and ministers, straddle a line between this world and the next, firmly in this world, but very aware of the coming and going of the world to come, particularly at when people are suffering and moment of death. This is when our structure begins to be shown. I had an interesting experience in my previous assignment. You know, priests often go to the hospital. I'm going to go this afternoon, actually. Sometimes we go to the emergency room. And, of course, all non-medical personnel that are allowed into ICU or emergency, naturally, we always stand back whenever there's, medical personnel come in. That's the primary, they're the primary responders there. But most of them are very kind about it. And if something's being discussed, you know, a physician comes in, I always leave the room and go beyond earshot. Occasionally, I'm invited back in, you know. Sometimes the hospital chaplains get in a little more often than I do. But it's a courtesy. It's a professional courtesy. I always do this. I've done it for 16 years. I used to go visit the hospital as a communion minister, like many of you do, before I became a priest. I love doing that. Well, one time I was visiting a dying man in Tillamook in the emergency room. And I was in the middle of doing the anointing of the sick, literally in the middle of it. And the physician on duty, or somebody's, his physician, came in the room. I immediately put everything down and began to move back towards the door. I was mid-word, you know what I mean? And he took one look at me and he said, "Get out." Yeah, that's exactly what he said, "Get out." He must have thought I was a witch doctor. Saw the oil and thought, this guy, let's get him out of here. He didn't give me a chance to leave. The patient later said to me, he said, "I'm going to switch doctors. That was so rude." I said, if he'd give me 3 seconds, I would have gotten out on my own. But it was good for my humility. And I had to confess that I wanted to kill him. But going to confession was good for my humility. I have reflected a lot about that incident, and it's worked too good over the years in my life. Because really, what happened though was when the person left. Of course, I was hanging around when I saw Marcus Welby leaving there. I both being a priest and a physician is half how bedside manners, isn't it? But even more so with myself. But in a business, isn't it half how you treat the people? Isn't a good physician somebody who knows how to relate? You know. But anyway, apparently he flunked that part. But I came back in there, and the person we were talking about the tough issues, life and death. When the hospital chaplain or myself were trained to do this, you know, many people won't talk about these things. The family's in denial. They're all saying, "Oh, you're going to be fine. You never look better." Meanwhile, you know, so the person wants to talk, and so we talked about life and death and where they're going because they were dying. Are you ready? They want to confession. You see, the physician could do no more. I'm not knocking the medical profession. I have the highest regard for them. But there comes a time, I can't tell you how many times I've come in when the medical profession can do no more. All of us in ministry have experienced this because we are eternal beings. We are preparing the home that lasts forever. The part that we're dealing with is, of course, this world, but at that point, it's the building that's been under construction all that person's life. We're putting the finishing touches and doing a last-minute cleanup job because the owner of the house is about to come in and take a tour. And he can clean it all up in just like that if he's invited in. He says, "If you obey me, and I will come in with my Father and the Holy Spirit, and I will give you peace, and I will guide your actions, and I will lead you, and you will hear me speaking, and sometimes it's going to be pretty difficult. You may be tempted to not wish my plan, not want my blueprints, and go follow your own blueprints and be disobedient. But that leads to disaster in the end. We all know that. The problem is listening to God. How do we hear his blueprint? Through the scriptures, through the church, and through our conscience, an informed conscience. Through the circumstances of life. What choices have been open to me today? Each one of these is a little beam. Some of them are arches. Some are a roof joist. Some are just the sheetrock that's being put up. But there is a building under construction. God has a piece he wants to put in today. He is the master builder. Jesus the carpenter is still at work in each soul here. I've said before, there's not just one church being built on this property. There's about 1,500 of them. And each one is going to be different, and I can't wait to see them on the last day, but I hope it's a while before I see them because I got work to do on my own. And believe me, I have not always followed Christ's blueprint. I'm sure maybe some of you have, but I've often built in the wrong place and it collapses, and you learn from that, you know. So we don't want to be like the physician that came in and just said to God, "Get out, you know, I don't want your plan." Jesus will get out, you know, like I did, but he'll hang around the door waiting, you know, and as soon as the coast is clear, he'll be knocking to come back in. So as long as we live, he's never going to go far. But it is up to us to invite Jesus and his blueprint, which is the word of God. He says, "If you listen to my word, I will come in, and I and my Father will come, and he will send the Holy Spirit, and we will dwell within you forever."